Thank God for the Word of God this morning. Isn't it a blessing to be able to hold in your hand? I looked over that last week. I preached on a hymn that was written in 1855. And I thought, my grace, think about that. Something written in 1855, and I'm here holding it and singing it and just enjoying it. And then this Wednesday night, 1776. Well, what I'm going to read to you now that you're holding in your hand now was written 700 years before Christ ever came. You think about that. Here we are, 2010. And so almost 3,000 years ago, what I'm reading to you now was written then. And His Word is eternal. It's not old, it's eternal. And there's difference. There are a lot of old things. Look around you, there's some. Where's Bobby at? Bobby Langdon. But a lot of old things that age. But the Word of God's eternal. What's that mean? It means it's ageless. It means it doesn't ever get outdated. It's not antiquated. It means it's eternal. And the truth of this book is as relevant today in 2010 as it's ever been. And boy, you can read it, and God's got something for you today. There's no accident you're in this service. God had you here for a reason. I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, before I pray, I want you to jump forward in time. This was written some 700 years before Christ came. And of course, Christ came and was born. And look in the book of Luke, if you will, please. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, He lived a life of a carpenter. We know that. They say in one place, is not this the carpenter's son? But then another place, they say, is this not the carpenter? He was a good carpenter. And He walked among men. He was sinless and absolutely perfect, unique. But when you come, He begins His ministry, of course, in Luke chapter 4. He goes into the wilderness, and there for 40 days He fasts and is tempted of the devil. And the Bible says He comes out of that, and he goes in full of the Holy Ghost, and He comes out full of the Holy Ghost. But look in verse number 14 of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of Isaiah. What a blessing. And this is all in God's divine providence. He's beginning His public ministry, and He comes into the synagogue in His hometown of Nazareth, and they just perchance bring Him the book of Isaiah that I've just read to you. And so here you are now over 700 years, and He's holding the prophecy that was given in chapter number 61 in His hand, and He's standing in the synagogue. And the Bible says, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it's written. I wonder how long He had to look for it. Praise God, He'd already wrote it. Amen. He had written the Word of God. And now He looks for the place. And He finds the place. And here's what He says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I'll make reference to where He stops the reading right there. But will you bow with me now for prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask God the Holy Spirit to breathe on me today. I want to thank You for the wonderful singing. Thank You, our Father, for the specials, for the boys and girls, the choir, for Brother Gary. God, I want to thank You for Your mercy and grace on us today. And God, I ask in Jesus' name that God, You'd sanctify this place with Your very presence. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this pulpit and over this gathering of people. I ask God the Holy Spirit to have His perfect will and way. And God, I pray, God, this morning that somebody would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And God, without You, we can do nothing. So God, I need You today. I pray, God, You take control and God, do in and through me what You want to do. I pray You'd be honored, and we'll thank You and praise You and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have been going through the book of Isaiah, and we looked at as God has prophesied and dealt with the nation of Israel. And when you come down to this latter part of the book, beginning in chapter 40, actually, you're looking down through time in a very special way. You're looking not only at the history of Israel, but at something very unique, and that is the body of Christ, the church. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So many wonderful prophecies. For instance, in Isaiah 53, it said he bore our sins there. It said he carried our sorrow, he carried our grief. And what a blessing it is that he did that. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. So he opened not his mouth. And the Bible said he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He looked down through time and saw the suffering that he would do and saw those who'd come to know him and those who'd be saved. And he was satisfied. And it's prophesied about his coming, that he's coming. In fact, as you come on into this portion of the Bible, look back, if you will, please, in chapter number 59. In chapter number 59, he says this in verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. He said the Redeemer's coming. Christ is the Redeemer. He is the one who buys us back. He's the one who came to suffer and bleed and to die for us. Nobody else could do that. He could do that. But here in this picture, this passage of scripture from chapter 40 on, he says the Redeemer's coming. The Redeemer's coming. The Redeemer's coming. But then when you come to chapter number 61, he said, I'm here. Here I am. Boy, I'm glad that Jesus Christ was coming. And here, let's reverse that. Some of you believe that he came. You believe that Jesus did come, that he was born of a virgin, laid in that manger. You remember, you believe all the miracles that did. You're looking back in time and you'll believe in all of that. But I got a question. Has he ever come to where you are? Is it just part of not prophecy, but history? They were looking at prophecy and they said, he's coming. And then he stands in the book of Luke chapter 4 and he says, this day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. Here I am. I am here. And I'm not interested in what you believe about the past, nor even about what you believe about the future this morning. I want to know what you believe now. Is he here now? Is he in your life now? Do you know that you're born again by the grace of God? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Is he your Savior now? That's what makes the difference. And thank God for that. I believe the Bible. I believe all the prophecies and the historical facts in the Bible. I believe all the things going to happen in the future. But my dear friend, right now we're living. Here we're living right now in June of 2010. Is he real to you now? He's here now. I want you to notice a few things from this passage of scripture. He said, the Lord hath anointed me. Now watch. I want you to notice in this passage of scripture, throughout the Old Testament, the Trinity is made reference to. In the creation, the Bible said, God said, let us make man. And here we find in that passage of scripture, the plurality of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they've always been. Jesus Christ was made a body of flesh. And he lived in that body of flesh. But Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. He is eternal God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have always been. And here in this passage of Scripture, he talks about this passage of Scripture. We see the Trinity. He said, the Lord, that is Jehovah God, that is God the Father, hath anointed me with the Spirit. That's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And thank God for that. They are working together. And I mean, my dear friend, it's the Holy Spirit of God that loves you. When you come to the parable in the New Testament, the Lord gave, and it's a long parable, it's one parable, of the lost things. And he talks about that which was lost. He talks about the father who lost the son. He talks about the woman who lost the coin. He talks about the shepherd who lost the sheep and went and found the sheep, and the woman found the stone and the piece of corn, and the father, son came home to him. There's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Father said, rejoice with me, because this my son was lost and now he's found. I want you to know, my dear friend, there's joy in the presence of angels over sinners that repent. And a lot of times you and I think about, well, grandma's up there, she'd been praying for you and you got saved. Boy, she's shouting it out. Daddy's up there and when you got saved, he's rejoicing, shouting it out. Oh, yeah, he was. But my dear friend, nobody in heaven had more interest in you than does God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. He wanted you saved. And in that very presence is rejoicing in the presence of God. rejoicing over sinners that repent. Now notice, first place in this passage of Scripture, His anointing. He said, the Spirit of God hath anointed me. The Lord Jesus Christ, this anointing has to do with a setting apart for some particular purpose. In the Old Testament economy, kings were anointed. You remember when they were trying to find a king after Saul, and they sent the prophet down to the house of Jesse, and they said, you're there to anoint a new king. And boy, they brought out the most handsome, the tallest, the biggest brother, and God said, that's not him. And they brought up the next one and said, that's not him. Went all through all the sons of Jesse. And he said, well, I know God told me to be here. I know God told me to come. Don't you have any other boy? He said, well, I got one little old boy, and he's out there. He's out there tending sheep. His name is David. And he said, listen, he's not much to him, but he said, you call him. And when he walked through the door, the Holy Ghost of God said to the man of God, that's him. You anoint him the king over Israel. I got news for you. It's not how big you are, how tall you are, how much you know, or who you know, but it's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing of God that makes the difference. And the Lord Jesus Christ, they anointed kings in the Old Testament. But then when God gave them direction for the tabernacle, and he said, you get all the tabernacle together. And then they anointed all the furnishings of the tabernacle. But then came the priest, and the priest had all the priestly garments they put on. And then they took and they anointed them all over with that anointing oil. And the priests were anointed. And then in the Old Testament, prophets were anointed. My dear friend, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes and he is anointed. He's anointed a king. And he's anointed as a priest, and he's anointed as a prophet. He's all three. He's all three. And as a priest, he has a unique position, because all of the furnishings of the tabernacle speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of them were anointed. My dear friend, listen, he's not only the priest, but he is the dwelling place of the believer. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But more than that, he is the sacrifice. He's the priest. The Bible said that he offered up himself. He offered himself. What an amazing thing that Jesus Christ would do that. The Lord Jesus Christ anointing. But here's a special significance to that anointing. When you come to the Jews were looking for Messiah. And the Hebrew word Messiah means the anointed one. And Jesus Christ said, I am not just a king. I'm not just a priest. I'm not just a prophet. I am the king. I am the priest. And I am the prophet. I am the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And when he began his public ministry, he chose this passage of Scripture to announce that publicly. As he walked into that synagogue, he opened that passage of Scripture and he read it. And here's what he said. He said, I am Messiah. I am the one you've been looking for. I am the hope of Israel. I am the Redeemer. I am the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I am Him. I'm anointed to do that. God, the Father, has given me that commission to come and do that. Thank God for that. I am the anointed of God. He is the Messiah. The Jews today are still looking for Messiah. But thank God there have been plenty of Jews who have met the Messiah, and they've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Not only do I note His anointing in this passage of Scripture, but I want you to notice His announcements. He said, I have come. The Lord hath anointed me. And then he begins to list these few things. Notice what he says in this passage of Scripture. He said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound. Let me do this real quick. Look at verse 2. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God. Now, I want you to note something. Notice the times that are indicated here. He said to preach the year, the acceptable year of the Lord, and then the day of vengeance. We have a long-suffering God. There's a long period of time of the acceptable time of the Lord, a year of the Lord, and there's a day of vengeance. He gives you ample time. And just giving you ample time. God's been patient with you, been long-suffering with you, dealing with you through this time. But I do want to remind you, there's a day coming. It's appointed when a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And there's a day of vengeance coming when the Lord himself should ascend from heaven with a shout. But the Bible says it's coming back also in the Revelation in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And so now is this time, the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time you can trust Christ. But now notice his announcement. Why did Christ come? What did it come about? He came, first of all, he says this passage of Scripture, to preach good tidings, to preach the message. What is the message? It's a simple message. He said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ear. He said, I am the good tidings. It's not a message about him. It is him. He is the good news. Christ is the good news. Christ is the gospel. The Bible said that in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Bible said he is the propitiation for our sin. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And Christ is the answer to everything you need. Here he is. He's the anointed of God. He is the Messiah. But he said, I've come to proclaim and preach good tidings. Good news. What's the good news? Here's it is. Paul gives it to us. He said the gospel is encompassed in these few little simple statements. That Christ was crucified, or he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ bore all our sins in his own body on the tree, and he died on that cross. He was suffered and bled and died. Bible said, but he says the gospel is not only that he died, but that he was buried and that he arose the third day according to the Scriptures. Here's the good news. Good news is not that you're a sinner. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not the fact that we failed to obey his commands. It's not the fact that we have disobeyed him and sinned. That's not good news. That wouldn't be good news to anybody. But it's part of the gospel that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is Christ. He's the good news. God, not good news that you're a sinner. It's not necessarily good news that he just died. A lot of people have died through history. But the fact is, his death was significant, and that he bore our sins, his own body on the tree. And scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wasn't dying for his sin. He's dying for us. He died for our sin. And here's the good news. He said, I have come to bear all your sin, to die on that cross, and to pay your sin debt. It's good news. Can you imagine somebody walking into your presence and saying, I've got good news. I'm going to die. Why is that good news? How could that possibly be good news? It's good news because we're sinners. We have a terminal illness. We pray for people who have to have transplants. And it's a kind of a unique type of praying, isn't it? Because in order for somebody to live, somebody else has to die. But here's what he's saying. The good news is this. You don't have to die. I'm going to be the one doing the dying. I'm going to die so you can live for eternity. Here's good news. I can give you everlasting life. Therefore, he that hath the Son hath life. I mean, God to give you everlasting life. He said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ came. He is the Messiah. He came to give you life. But he said not only to give life, but he came to bind up the brokenhearted. How many people in this building, how many people in the radio audience, how many people around this, through the internet audience, today are listening to me with a broken heart? It may be because of a broken home or a broken life. Maybe because of a wayward child. Maybe because of financial difficulties or reversals or the collapse of something in your family. A lot of reasons you have a broken heart. But God said, I've come that your heart might be made whole. I've come to fix that broken heart, to mend that broken heart, to put that heart back together again. God can fix whatever's wrong in your life. He's the answer to every problem. He's the answer to every need. He's the answer to every heartache. He can do that for you. He's here to mend your broken heart today. And he said, I can do that. He said, I'm here now. I'm here now. I don't care what you believe about him in the past. I'm not interested in what you believe about him in the future right now. I want to know, is he today your Savior? Is he today the mender of your broken heart? He's here to help you now. You don't have to call him to come to you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will not leave thee comfortless. I'll come to thee. He's here to mend your broken heart and to make it what it ought to be for the glory of God. He's here. He's here to do that now. He said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in you. You're here today. You're in this building. You're in the radio audience. You're in an internet audience. There's a God. There's Messiah. There's the anointed one. There's the one who can help you. He can fix whatever's wrong in your life right now. He can do it now. He can do that. Listen, here's what he wants to do. The announcement. He said, I've come to be the Savior. I've come to mend broken hearts. But he goes on, he says this, not only have I come to that, but I've come to proclaim liberty to the captives. I've come to proclaim liberty. People captive by everything. The Bible said that it talks about those who have been ensnared, been caught in steel traps of the devil, got caught in snares and tangled and brambles and just bound up. That you thought was going to be such a pleasure now turns out to be a chain and it's bound you up. You can't seem to get free from it. If you tried everything in the world, you tried to do this and tried to do that. You tried to reform, you tried to change, you tried to do all the things and nothing's worked so far. But he said, I've come to set you free. I've come to release you. I've come to set at liberty them that are bound. He said, I've come to do that. I can do that. He can give you liberty. Thank God for that. I'm glad he can break every chain. I'm glad he can set you free. Whatever it is in your life, whatever's got you bound, if it's an emotional chain, whatever it is, he can set free. I've come to do that now. Now, he said to that man by the pool, wilt thou be made whole? Not yesterday or maybe not tomorrow or not in the future, but do you want to be made whole right now? Here's the thing. Jesus said, I'm here now. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your heart. He's here now. I want you to understand that. It's not what you believe about him in the past. It's not what you believe about him in the future. It's what you believe now. Is he here now to give you liberty and set you free from all that's bound you up emotionally, for all that's bound you up spiritually? He's here to give you liberty now, right now. Praise God, it's real. You can have it now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to get everything just right. You don't have to quit doing anything, start doing anything. He didn't make any conditions. He said, I've come to give you liberty. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you freedom if you'll take it from me right now. But not only does he say that he's come to give liberty, but he said, I've come to open the prisons to those that are bound. Thank God, I'm glad that he can open the door and swing the door out. I'm glad he can turn you loose and you can get out. I'm glad you don't have to be bound up any longer. You don't have to be in prison anymore. He said, I come out to give you liberty. If you listen, you can walk in the sunshine. You can listen to the birds sing. You can see the beauty of the mountains. You can hear the streams rolling. You can get out of that. You're in now. Got to do it now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. But not a month from now. But right now. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in you. Right now, here I am now. I'm here to set you free. Boy, I like that song the Black Creek sings about Hosea. It said, I've come to buy you. I've come to set you free. My dear friend, listen, he didn't come to do it tomorrow. He came to do it today. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. Oh, man, listen, here they are. Here's the prophecy. They've been waiting 700 years for him. 700 years. They want liberty and they want deliverance and they want redemption. They want all those things. And they've read the Bible and they memorized the Bible and they got the Bible just stacked up inside that synagogue. And every Sabbath day, they go in and they read it over and over again. They read it over and over again. They read it over and over again. And they recite it and they memorize it and they chant it. But the Word of God walked into the synagogue that day and he said, it's not what you've read. It's not what you've heard, but it's me. I'm here right now. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? It's real. Praise God, it's real. Amen. It's not some list of rules or regulations. It's not some doctrinal statement, but it's a living Savior standing in your presence and said, this day I'm here. Praise God, I've showed up. I'm here. Is it that real to you? Is it that real to you? It's not what your mama believed, not what your grandma believed, but it's him right now. He's right here now. He said, here I am. I'm right here now in that synagogue. Now I want you to notice not only the anointing and not only his announcement. He said, I'm here and I can do all these things for you. But I want you to notice the astonishment. I want you to go back to the book of Luke. 700 years they've read this passage. Oh, and listen, their forefathers read it, the families read it, everybody read it, and it was taught to them as children from a youth up. They learned it, and they said, Messiah's coming, he's coming, he'll set you at liberty, he'll redeem you, and all those things. But now watch, go back to the astonishment. Here's what's astonishing to me. Look in chapter 4 of the book of Luke, verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They didn't recognize him for who he was. He's not there as Joseph's son. He's there as the anointed. He's there as Messiah. And then he goes on. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this parable, this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is except in his own country. But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, except for Sephatar, the city of Sidon, unto the woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill wherefore their city was built, and they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through in the midst of them and went his way. He came and here's what he said to them. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you, Baptist and Methodist, anybody else. They were believers in the written word. But he said, I'm here today. And he said, I'm here to do something for you. And he said, it's not that you say you believe. But he said, in that land where there were a lot of widows, there was one that got bread and oil. And he said, where there were lepers, there was one that obeyed and got cleansed. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, the proof is in the pudding. Have you eaten bread? I'm the bread of life. He said, do you have life and cleansing? I'm the Savior. I'm the cleanser. And they got mad. And they were going to kill him. Throw him over the cliff. Throw him out of the city. What an astonishing thing. The one they'd been singing about. The one they'd been praying about. The one they'd been teaching about showed up. And he wanted to do for them what he said he came to do. But they would not accept him. What an astonishing thing for people to say, I believe the Bible. And to sing the songs. And to teach the truths. But not to experience it. What he's saying is this. You've got to know him. You've got to experience him. It's not though you say you have faith, but have you had bread? Have you had cleansing? Have you experienced that? There are a lot of people in this building this morning who've never done that. If I were to have you to say, do you believe this Bible? You'd say yes. Do you like the Bible? Oh, yeah, I like the Bible. I believe that. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had any bread? Have you had any oil? A woman got flour and bread and oil. Have you ever had cleansing? Have you ever experienced it? This day is this scripture fulfilled in you. I'm here now. I'm here to do something for you. I'm here to make a difference in your life. I'm not interested in you lining up as a Baptist. I am a Baptist. But I'm interested in you meeting the one who we're preaching about. If you believe what I say, that really won't make better. You said, Brother Billy, I believe you. I believe you're credible, and I don't believe you lie to us. We believe that. It won't make a bit of difference. I want you to meet him. this day. He said, I'm here right now. Have you ever met him? Do you know him? Have you experienced the cleansing? Have you experienced the mending of your broken heart? Have you experienced the liberty? Has he opened the door of the prison for you? I'm here to do it now. And the astonishing thing is that people can be in a church service and never experience any of that. And it make them mad when they're challenged as to whether they've really been cleansed or whether they've really experienced it. And they want to kill him. Now listen. He's here now. He's here now. He said, where my people gather, two or three gather, I'm there in the midst. He's right here now. I can't do one thing for you, but I know somebody who can. I know somebody who can break every yoke, who can set you free of every habit, who can deliver you and make you perfectly whole, who can forgive you of every sin. His name is Jesus. And I want you to come to him right now. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. This day. Is that true of you? This day? Are these things true of you this day? Not that you read them in the Bible and you believe them 700 years before Christ ever came, they were written down. Not that he's going to do great things in the future, but I'm asking you to, this day. What's he doing this day? This day is the scripture fulfilled in your hearing, right here, right in front of you. Here he is right now. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's everybody. Everybody. Whosoever will may come. That's you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's you right now today. He said, if you'll cast your cares on me, I'll take them away from you. I'm talking about today. He'll do it right now. He'll do it right now. You say, well, I'm just a guest. I'm a visitor. I've never been here before. It makes no difference. You didn't come to see me. You came to hear him. And he's spoken to your heart. He's here now. He'll do it for you now. He'll set you free now. He'll deliver you now. He'll save you now. He'll mend your heart now. He'll give you joy, peace now. If you come to him, come to him. I mean, by faith, come to him. Will you by faith receive him? Oh, you say, Brother Bill, I can't see him. Well, they couldn't see him either. They said, this is Joseph's son. They couldn't see the Messiah. They could just see a physical man. But by faith, Simon Peter said, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say that you're Elias, prophet, so on. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the anointed of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Lord. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. My dear friend, listen. You're not coming to a physical man. You're coming to a real God. And he's here to save you today. While you stand with your heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to help you if I can. I'll pray with you. The men who pray with the men. Ladies who pray with the ladies. But I'm telling you right now, God knows who you are. He knows you. He knows your name. God knew you before the foundation of the world, knew you before he was ever fashioned in your mother's womb. He knew you. He came. He came. And he's here now. And this day, this scripture can be fulfilled in your life. This day you can hear the good news and be saved. This day you can be set free. This day you can have new life. Oh, I pray you will. I pray today to be real to you. You didn't mean to do that when you came. You didn't mean to do it, but God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to your heart. This is your day. This is your day. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to be baptized. I'm asking you today to come before the God of this universe. Come to Messiah. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, and say, dear Lord Jesus, will you do for me what the Word of God says you do for me? I believe it this morning, Lord. I believe you'll save me. I believe, God, that you'll forgive me of all my sin. I believe you'll give me liberty. I believe, God, you'll buy my broken heart. If you believe that today, he's here. You've been carrying that broken heart so long. You've been bound so long. I believe he'll set you free right now if you'll make your way to the front. You'll not be the first. Others are to hear. With our heads bowed, eyes are closed, I want to pray. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of song, and you obey the Lord. Please come obey him this morning. Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus, this day, our Father, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of salvation today, not tomorrow, but today. This day, I pray, God, Lord, that this day, a man, a woman, or a boy, or girl will find these truths to be very real, and this will be the day that it's fulfilled, that their sins are forgiven, the yoke is broken, the prison doors are open, their heart is mended. God, let them know they can have it today. And God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name.